afternoon, everybody. It is March 24th, 7:26 p.m., and welcome to The Dome, brought to you by B-Team Sports. What it doing, motherfucker?
It's doing good, man. My hard day's work.
You doing all right today?
Oh, I'm doing great. You doing good?
Feeling good?
You doing good? I haven't seen you in a while.
You don't have the corona?
No. No.
No corona for us, ladies and gentlemen.
If I have corona, you have corona.
And that is a fact, because we live and work together. But, you know, neither here nor there. We hope everybody else is staying out there social distancing.
Practicing safe distancing.
Very far apart. Staying as far away from everybody as you can.
Like kinda Georgia like did in, the national championship.
Yep, that's exactly how that was going to go.
Yep.
So, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, hope everybody's being safe. This shit's kind of been blown out of proportion.
Yeah,
not really.
I can say,
yes.
It all right.
See, that's where I've been.
If we're gonna talk about it real quick, we're just gonna go ahead and get this out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a real sickness people are getting, and some are dying from.
Right.
The knee jerk reaction from social media and all the countries is to shut down everything that we love,
which shouldn't be taken seriously at all. Those reactions are very emotional, irrational, and agenda pushed.
Exactly.
So just being real.
You got a bunch of Twitter eggs that have been
a lot going on there.
You have a bunch of Twitter eggs that have been profiles for like 2 months. They're like, we need to shut down.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, we don't know shit. We only know sports. And that's what we're going to stick to. But again, kind of hard to not talk about it because it's changed every aspect of life.
Everything that is sport is canceled.
Everything. And it's really ridiculous. We could be watching March Madness. You know what we're into now? Marble racing. So if you ever need anything to watch, Marble Racing's probably for you.
Yep, shout out Limers. I mean,
shout out Hazers.
Yeah, we have teams.
Jelly's more. We're committed now. All right, shit's gotten real, and we really haven't had a choice.
If there's anything versus anything with that you can bet on, we're gonna be there.
We're gonna be there, and we might even make our own bets and live stream them, and then we'll put them in a pool and donate it all to, coronavirus funds. We just had a hope the NCAA didn't get involved. See that shit?
What?
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence and his girlfriend had a GoFundMe for coronavirus funding. They were gonna like get meals for the Clemson area or whatever. NCAA said no, came, took the money, and said he's not allowed to do that. So
how much money they took.
I think they only had raised like $3,000. But it
still. That's a payday. That's
and
bullshit.
It's public. Like, you know where the fuck the money's going. You know what's gonna happen. Especially when it's with a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who probably has 100 eyes on him at all times anyway. Yeah, he might be able to get away with a little more than anybody else, but I'm sure he's not going to steal $3,000 with his girlfriend over the coronavirus. I can promise you that's not going to – I wouldn't imagine any player would do that.
I mean,
they publicly stated.
How much shampoo can you buy with $3,000?
Yeah, I don't know, but I know that a Head & Shoulders endorsement is coming for that young man sometime soon.
Oh, he's next.
It's got to be him.
He's
Troy
next.
Polamalu.
Clay Matthews. He's next, bro.
Patrick Mahomes is the new one.
Yep,
he was the new one. He was, you know, donned. Troy Polamalu went up to, like, took off his, what are they called? The sandals that everybody wears. The starts with a B. Birkenstock. Took off his Birkenstock and, like, donned him. And I was like, yeah, now you're the hair guy. Too old for this shit.
Yeah.
I got enough money. I only wear white t-shirts anyway.
Yeah, just won the Super Bowl.
But we've got a very big show for you today. Hopefully. Hopefully we do.
Yeah. If we don't, then we will.
Well, we
later.
Still do.
Yeah, it's always a big show.
But we are supposed to have a surprise appearance from SEC Mike. He is the host, number one source of the SEC info. Very smart, knowledgeable man.
Huge Twitter presence.
We would be honored to have him on the show. But, you know, that's supposed to happen. So just stay tuned for that. You know, it's kind of like a little gift. Like if you Christmas morning, if you know Christmas is coming, you're like, hey, Mom, I know that Santa's going to be here tomorrow. Mike's coming. He's coming. He's going to bring the gifts. He's not coming through the chimney.
Nope. He's going to eat cookies.
And even if he did, I'd be okay with that.
I don't care.
He seems, Southern hospitality.
Yeah. Come on. Hey, the doors are messed up, but come through the chimney.
So we were talking about everything being canceled. Tokyo.
Yep.
And the Olympics.
Yep. Done.
The fuck?
Nobody can practice. The athletes can't practice. They can't train. I mean, how do you expect them to even have it? I think that's where this really stemmed from, is you had a lot of swimmers and people that are like, we can't find
funny.
A pool.
It's like, you can't find a lake. You got to risk it. How bad do you really want it? That's what would make this shit interesting. What country is going to go the furthest to get it? Because like a country that you wouldn't be you'd be surprised to win. Like, think about a country that's just got a lot of fucking lakes or something. Just a lot of lakes, and they come out of nowhere. The best swimmers. Because they
like,
had lakes.
Holy
and they
shit.
They were dedicated. They just didn't stop. They were just like, I don't know, just like a small place in India. Or like Italy, Bangladesh.
Italy's like, aren't we surrounded by water?
Venice.
Aren't we surrounded by
Italians? Yeah, they just come out of nowhere and sweep every swimming competition.
They're swimming everywhere.
Sa, 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 sa.
They can swim over. They can swim faster than they can run.
I don't even know all the strokes, but yes.
The backstroke.
Yes. The backstroke.
The backstroke. The butterfly stroke.
The butterfly stroke is one of my favorite strokes.
I think there's the belly stroke. I think I'm pretty sure that's not a stroke.
Right. It's not. But that's okay. This has happened before. The Olympics has been canceled before.
Yes.
1919, like 1926. It's like three or four times before. I believe it's three times before this.
Yep.
The Olympics has been canceled. Like the Great Depression, yep. I think it was.
And several times before you've had countries say they weren't going to be in the Olympics for whatever reason, whether it be war. Right. Like America didn't go to Russia back in the 80s, and Russia didn't come to America in 92.
It was a mutual agreement to disagree. They said,
we don't like you guys. We don't want to come. Okay, that's fine.
We made Rocky IV, and everything was fine,
yep.
I guess.
And then we beat them in hockey. I think that's why they didn't want
to
come.
Hey, man, if we would have just listened to Patton and gone and got them Russians right after we got Hitler.
Hey,
that's where he said. He said we need to do that.
He said the war didn't stop that day.
We had to keep
going north.
And we didn't.
We didn't. We stopped. Now,
we've been dealing with communism to this day. North Korea, Russia. But hey, that's neither here nor there. This is what quarantine does, by the way. Like my mind, usually I can bullshit on sports and it'll be stuck on sports. Now, there's no fucking sports. It's all saturated.
Yeah, I go crazy.
We've got free agency. You got Emmanuel Sanders, huge. Teddy Bridgewater to the Panthers, huge. Oh yeah, Emmanuel Sanders.
Speaking of the Panthers, I mean, we all kind of figured this the other day when Teddy Bridgewater. It's all water under the bridge.
Hey.
When he signed with Carolina, we all figured that Cam Newton era ended. Today, it officially ended. He is gone, and then he posted a little cute picture of him working out, saying, "I'm hungry and I'm free."
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Free and hungry.
I hope that the teams don't think that. Damn, that contract's going to be cheap.
They could think that.
Yeah, and he's hungry, so we don't. You know, he's going to get skinny.
It is.
Don't feed this guy.
It is going to get skinny, a lot like me.
A lot like Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder being pushed back to fall
coronavirus. That's not until July. Why in the fuck are you canceling it already? That doesn't make any sense. It's not until July. This is what's going to happen. This is going to be gone by mid-April, right? Let's say end of April at the latest, and it'll be gone, and it'll be like it never happened.
I agree. But I feel like this, though. I'm just saying, this is where I'm coming from because I love football so much. I do not want this shit to last until football season.
It can't.
If all it takes, I'm hearing and what I'm reading about is this shit stops in 14 days. If everybody would chill out and quit going and talking to people and leave their fucking house.
Right.
Just stay in your house for 15 days so we can demolish this shit, get back with all of our sports, and have football start on time. Please.
Now I'm with you, man.
That's what I want.
But unfortunately.
That's what I need. That's my annual drug, bro. Football, that's it. I got to have that. I mean, all this basketball, this is horrible. And it sucks. And honestly, getting it all at the same time is going to be awesome if that happens. But football has to start on time. And I think that's what Nick Saban was saying when he said that.
Football has to start
on time. He said all football fans need to practice social distancing because he knows he's talking about 80% of the country.
I swear to God, if it does not kick off, when it's supposed to, I think it's, August 28th or something. If it does not kick off on August 28th, Nick Saban will have already assembled a band of mercenaries, a band of men trained to kill everyone because there will be no fucking reason left for Nick Saban to live if he cannot coach football. This will be the first football season he would have ever missed in his life. And not only that, but there's a million other guys like him. He's going to have a band of assassins who have only...
That's true.
Oh, hang on. Hang on. This is Hunter.
Hey, what's up, Hunter? It's Michael Bratton. How's it going?
Hey, Mike. How are you doing? So, everybody, welcome Mike to the show. This is SEC Mike. He's the number one source in the SEC, to us anyway. He has previous stints with Fox, NFL, and Dick House, I believe, even, which that's awesome. Huge jackass guys. Grew up on that. How are you doing today, Mike?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me, Hunter. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, man. We're big fans of yours. Follow you on Twitter for a while, you know, so we're just kind of getting into the game, learning the ropes. So we're really happy that you came on, man. Thank you. I've got my co-host here, Austin, as well.
Hey, man, how you doing? Glad to have you on.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I hope all you guys are out there staying safe. I know, me personally, I'm on lockdown over here, but thankfully, we can still do stuff like this, so happy to help out.
Yeah, man, actually, technology, that helps a lot. Without that, I think we'd all kind of be screwed. But yeah, we're doing our best social distancing as we can. Honestly, I'm not very good at that. I like being out and about, but this is definitely a change of pace. And I'm sure the sports is the biggest thing probably for both of us that we're missing out on right now.
Yeah, without a doubt. So were you one of those dudes down on Florida on the going crazy?
Do I sound like that?
Definitely not.
I just got stereotyped hard. No, no, sir. So, yeah, no, actually, no, we're young. We're not that young. We work full time. I wish I was on the beach, but I also wish coronavirus wasn't happening. So no, unfortunately did not go to the beach, but, we have been trying to figure out what in the hell is going to be going on with the SEC next year, Mike. So can you give us a little, first off, tell us about you, man. What have you had going on? How did you get started in all this SEC stuff, this, sports stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you kind of hinted at it there a little bit. I'm originally from East Tennessee, grew up, my dad was in the military, so we moved around a lot, so
okay.
Wasn't necessarily raised in East Tennessee, but that's where I went to high school, and then I went on to University of Tennessee, and
Rocky Top.
Pretty much as soon as I graduated, I just kind of wanted to try something new, so I moved out to L.A., and wanted to get into movie making and stuff like that. That's kind of how I got in with the Jackass guys, and Johnny Knoxville, I think because of my connection to UT, that was kind of my break with them. So
okay.
working with them for a while, and then I was out there for a number of years, and I had a steady job, but I kind of hated what I was doing. I was working audio work in what's called a post-production facility, where
right.
we did the audio for like TV shows and movies and stuff like that, but. I was doing pretty well at all that, but I just wasn't happy, man. So like anytime I had to miss like a Tennessee Florida game for work,
yep,
it would just kill me.
Yep.
And after a couple of those, I just figured, what in the heck am I doing if I'm out here in LA living this life, yet I'm more focused on sports? I got to get out of this. So I don't even know how I found this job, but Fox Sports was hiring for someone, and this was very, very entry level. So I don't advise doing this, but I literally wrote the guy and I said, I have no experience in sports.
Right.
But I'll work for free. And he's like, well, we can't do free, but we'll pay you the minimum. And what I did was we would send out newsletters. So they gave me three teams, I believe it was. So I would have Tennessee, let's say Alabama and LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And my job was to just collect the best stories on the internet with those three teams, package them in a newsletter, send those out every morning, and they were so happy with the job I did. Within a couple weeks, I was managing all 14 SEC teams.
Whoa.
And then within a couple months, I wasn't writing all the head for all the college teams, but I was supervising everyone that did them. So,
okay, so you knew what was going on and what was being written and who was writing them.
Exactly. So I was just kind of, I just busted my ass for as hard as I could, because I knew, if you're starting out at the bottom, that's kind of what you got to do to move up. And
absolutely.
Eventually I did well enough. They let me start writing for FoxSports.com. And that was, of course, when they had written college football content on there. But
right.
And then for whatever reason, they made the decision. I don't know if anybody goes to FoxSports.com anymore, but I don't imagine they do, because all they do is videos. So they fired all the writing teams. That's when I got on with NFL.com and then Saturday Down South.
Yeah.
And so that's, I've been doing that since 2014.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So was building credibility one of the hardest parts you found about it? Because that's definitely something we've run into as far as, just getting people. Because that, again, man, we can't say it enough. We really appreciate you coming on and just taking the time to speak with us. But is that something that kind of took a minute to build, or is it just kind of one of those things of, the more you do, the less you wait, or it's all about who you know? What was something that you found was the most helpful for you?
Oh, man, I still don't have credibility. Yeah, don't worry about any of that. Don't worry about what anyone says about you, because you're gonna get a lot of that. People are
right.
People are gonna reject you. People are gonna tell you, you know, who in the heck are you? Why should we listen to you?
Absolutely.
But
yeah, we really don't give a shit about those people. We were just saying because, like you said, man, I resonated with that a lot, and I'm sure Carlisle does here as well. Like when you were like, you know, you miss a Tennessee or Florida game because of work, it's like, man, I want that to be my work. I want that to eventually be, you know, what we're doing, what we're covering, creating content in that way, shape, or form. So that's kind of where I meant as far as that goes, like the credentials aspect, the just getting people to be like, hey, these guys, you know, they can be here. Or how long – so you're credentialed and you can – you know, you have interviews, you've got names. Like, was that a hard thing to do, or is it just something you just grinded out?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you just kind of – that is something you just kind of have to grind out. And
right.
My thing to you guys is just, you know, never burn any of your bridges.
Absolutely.
You know, some people do that, but for the vast majority of people, it's not like that out there. So just be cool with everybody.
Yes, sir.
Even if, you know, if you make a mistake, own up to it.
Absolutely.
I've made plenty of mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. That's not a big deal as long as you own it. And, don't burn any bridges and just keep busting your ass, man, because people really do appreciate it. And a big thing, I think, is being genuine because...
Yes, thank God.
As I've come up in this industry, like I said, I got no experience. I didn't even do... I mean, I did writing and stuff at Tennessee, but I didn't work for the paper or,
right,
you know, work on any of the websites or anything. I spent a little bit of time with, now that I totally forgot about this, the SB Nation site, Rocky Top Talk, I think it's called.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit of that as well, but that was basically my only experience. But, man, I'm already off topic. What...
Oh, no, you're good. You were pretty much just talking about how you got started and everything. You mentioned the SB. But, man, can we start – do you mind if we start diving into a little bit? You were talking about how genuine, but
– Oh, yeah. So, I mean, there's just so many people that, like I said, I don't have this newspaper background, and you're going to run into those people, and they're going to be like, you can't – you got to be professional. You got to do it this way.
Earn your stripes, right.
That way's dying, man.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be you, and you got to be yourself, and don't don't conform to what they want you to be because they just want you to work their stupid, like, newspaper ladder.
Absolutely.
Way, whereas, you know, there's people like myself, and I don't put myself in the class of people like Barstool Sports or anything.
No,
like that, but
neither do we.
You could tell from those guys that they've kind of done it their own way, and they've been successful.
Very.
So I'm trying to do it my own way, and, I mean, so far, I think I've been pretty damn successful doing that.
I would say so too, man. I would. Carlisle, did you have a question for Mr. Mike here?
Man, this kind of goes to the networking of things. The SEC is leaving CBS for ESPN. I was wondering, get your opinion on how that would affect everything.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because I've talked with people over there at CBS and, you know, they're very proud of that ownership that they have with the SEC, and, you know, that makes them such a legitimate name in the college football realm. But, you know, as we all know, it's not official, but all the reports out there and, you know, the people behind the scenes saying it's moving to ESPN ABC, and I'd be a little bit concerned if I was trying to get a job at CBS or if I was already working there and I was a college football person, because as that contract comes to an end, I believe it's 2021 is their final year they have it on contract.
Yep.
I think they're going to phase out, for the most part, college football. I mean, they may have Pac-12 or something like that. And, you know, I'm not one of these people that is like, you know, I'm obviously SEC Mike. I tout the SEC.
Right.
I'm not saying that, like, the rest of the nation is garbage. But
no.
I know from working for NFL.com and Fox Sports that those people out there just do not have the passion, and they don't care about college football the way the SEC does. So if CBS transitions to be like, you know, covering Pac-12, they're going to be spinning their wheels because it's just going to be such a huge, massive drop off from their SEC coverage.
And there's just like such a big thing that all SEC fans love is hearing Vern and Gary at like 2:30, Alabama and, you know, Florida, just like. Mm-hmm. To me, that's just one of the best presentations of SEC football.
Even though no more Vern, but still, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic. It's all time. I mean, that's, you just hear that music, and it just takes you back to, it doesn't matter what your favorite rivalry is in the SEC, that's what you go to. You think about growing up watching that game,
yep.
And even to now watching these games, and they always got the best game. It's going to be kind of, I don't know if sad's the right word, but it's going to be a new era, and I just hope that ESPN ABC does it justice because they've got a lot to live up to.
We agree. Now let's get specific here, Mike. Is the SEC West as open as it seems? Because right now it seems like anybody's ball game. It's kind of like LSU. They lost Joe Brady. Is who is the standout? I know Alabama. I mean, I would like to sleep on Alabama. I don't think we can. Is it safe to say that they're going to be what they have been? I mean, obviously the Tua injury kind of fucked things up for them last year. But how is that going to go? Like, who's your team coming out of the West, pretty much?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think it's really up in the air, like you said. And, one thing that I've not heard enough people talk about, and maybe it's just because, it doesn't really have a ton to do with the upcoming season, but, Nick Saban, while he's been at Alabama, he's basically fired. He's gotten every coach fired in the SEC.
Yeah.
And now it's like all these coaches, all these programs around the SEC have hired their second or third level coach to compete with Alabama. And I think the rest of the SEC West is basically, they've caught up to Saban to an extent. I'm not saying, they'll have a coaching advantage on Nick Saban or anything, but you're looking at Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah.
Now Ed Orgeron's been rejuvenated. Lane Kiffin,
absolutely.
Mike Leach.
Yep.
I just think that's just going to make it that much harder for Alabama to dominate the way they have. I know it's been said before that the dynasty's been dead and they've come roaring back, but I don't know. I really do think it's dead because, you look at some of these marquee games, Saban got out-coached in the Iron Bowl last year.
Absolutely.
He got out-coached by Ed Orgeron. I think he got out-coached by Jeremy Pruitt. People think I'm crazy, but go back and watch that game.
No, 100%. 100%.
Clearly, Alabama had the better team, so they won the game. I mean, it's the players that matter more than the coaching, in my opinion, but he's been routinely getting out. Coach, he's been getting out coached by Dabo Sweeney in these championship games. So, and he's had a major, major problem, in my opinion, in hiring here lately. I mean, he's never replaced Jeremy Pruitt. So
No. And
I think the cracks are there, and I think this year people are going to see it because I think Alabama, for the second year in a row, is going to lose multiple games. And I know that's a long-winded answer, but to answer your question, right now my favorite in the SEC West is probably going to be Texas A&M.
Yep, that's mine. Yeah, because, Jimbo's 16-9. He's cranked out, three now, top five recruiting classes. I mean, it's only a matter of time until he gets
that
shit
freshman
rolling.
Running back Isaiah Spiller.
That's, they've got a lot of good pieces there. But this rotating door of coaches that Alabama has, Nick Saban, that's a red flag, right? Yes or no? I know that Nick Saban he's friends with a lot of these guys, and he likes, pushing them to get opportunities and move forward. But, with guys like Scott Sinclair, that's a hardier program. You got guys leaving. Do you think that's what's going to kill him? You think that's why right now we're at where we're at with Alabama?
Yeah, and I think he had to make some serious wheeling and dealing just to keep offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian, too.
Yeah.
Because, it was looking like he was going to take the Colorado job. And
probably promised him a lifetime supply of Jack Daniels or something.
They may have even told him, I don't know if they would have went this far, but they may have said coach in waiting.
Yeah.
I think Saban's only going to last a couple more years, to be honest with you.
Which I still think that's Dabo's job to lose. Let's be real.
Yeah, they'll go after some big names to be sure, but
right.
I think what they really dangled in front of Sarkisian is come back next offseason, get you a better job, way better than Colorado. But
right.
As Steve Sarkisian left when he had the opportunity, Alabama would have been in a terrible, terrible spot, and that compounded obviously by. It's looking like we're not going to have spring football. So that's the major wild card with all these teams is how do they respond to not having spring football this year, which it's not officially canceled, but, it's seriously trending in that direction.
Yeah, I agree.
And that kind of plays off my next question, man. This whole coronavirus really sucks and is ruining everything.
It's fucking up everything. Everything.
I really want to know because you probably know some more insight, but how far do people know this is going to get into the season? And I know coaches are probably halting on recruiting, and I'm sure it's affecting more than people are seeing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, getting on these conference calls with Greg Sankey, the only thing I can offer is the same thing he's saying, and it's just
you know, the information changes day by day, and there really is no answer because nobody knows where this thing is going. We've never been in a situation quite like this, but based on all indication, I mean, they are fully planning on having a college football season. So that, to me, is not a major concern at this point because they're already talking that they're likely going to have some kind of either extended fall camp or maybe like a summer mini camp.
Right.
Because they really want to make sure that all their coaching staffs and their players are adequately prepared for the fall, because if not, I mean, not only are we going to get poor football, we could be putting some of these kids in a dangerous position.
Absolutely.
Where exactly. We're putting them on the field and they're not ready.
Yeah,
yep, exactly.
And that's a big one because that, I mean, that'll do more than just ruin a season. And at a certain point, you know, you got to stop. I mean, as much as I would love to be as selfish as I can, you got to stop and think from a fan's standpoint. Like, you know, this is bigger than the game. We got to make sure that everybody involved is taken care of. But you said something that kind of – it. So is Jamie Newman getting hyped up, one, and two, is Todd Monken going to help? I mean, because James Coley, that was a dumpster fire, and I think Georgia missed Jim Chaney a lot more than they thought they were going to, because he made Jake Fromm look like a Heisman contender 2 years in a row, and last year he looked like dog shit. So, what? I mean, is Georgia – I mean, Kirby, he's not on the hot seat at all. He's a great coach, great team, but he's had some very questionable moments and questionable things happen. Is it bad luck, or are we going to see a different Georgia this year?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the million-dollar question in Athens right now. And, you know, I'm just trying to really pump the brakes on Jamie Newman. It's not that I went back, for anyone that's missed it.
Yeah. No, I saw your tweets. I watched the video. I saw exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah, so I went back and watched all of Jamie Newman's games, and he's not a bad player at all. Like, I think...
I agree.
I think he could potentially be all SEC. Like, but I think that's the ceiling. Now, All these people saying Heisman,
yep,
you know, favorite for this, favorite for that, you know, Georgia's going to go undefeated. I think that's kind of crazy talk because you're talking about a new offensive system completely, a new coordinator, new quarterback coach, new quarterback. I mean, there's just so many pieces that they're going to have to all jumble together to just take off. And keep in mind, they got Alabama week 3. I mean, they're not going to have time to get this all going. And I believe the first two games are within like 5 days. So
yeah, they play like 14. They play 3 games in 14 days.
Adjustment time as well.
Right. It's ridiculous. That's going to be very hard for Georgia. And they do play Tennessee later this year than normal, which is going to help them a little bit. But that to me was a big question. You mentioned earlier, you know, Joe Brady went to the Panthers. Is Miles Brennan going to – is he going to be a guy? Because I remember at the beginning, you know, when he did have both Burrow and Brennan, he was unsure to begin with who was going to start. And then obviously that was decided. So what's going to happen there? Is Miles Brennan going to be a threat, or are we going to have some underdog come up and do something?
No, I think Miles Brennan is going to be pretty solid, and I think the best indication of that is given the fact that what we just saw LSU do, and you know, their unbelievable season.
Best ever, in my opinion.
Any graduate transfer, including Jamie Newman, if they wanted him, I think they could have got him. You know what I mean? But they didn't even go down that road because they got faith in Miles Brennan to get it done. Coach O has been hyping up this kid for 2 or 3 years. He's not going to be Joe Burrow. It's not fair to ask him to be that. But
no.
I think he could be a really good player, one of the breakout players in the SEC. And I think he's going to have to be based on everything that LSU lost. Now, they still got plenty of talent, but they're just losing so much. They're going to need him. If he is the next Joe Burrow, maybe they can win the SEC West. But, of course, I don't project him to be quite that good. But I do think Miles Brennan is going to be a very solid quarterback this year.
Hell yeah. I like to hear that. Because like you said, I don't think Alabama's going to compete, but A&M, LSU, Auburn, Alabama, that's any man's game there. That is really any man's game. And then the East, are you locking Georgia down, or do you think Trask and Dan Mullen might have something up their sleeve? Because they've got some good players. It's the coaching there, I guess, that's the most questionable part.
Yeah, no, I'm officially on record. Of course, this could change. We're still early.
Okay, we'll hold you to it. We'll hold you to it.
Florida to win the East.
Okay.
And the biggest reason right now is because we've basically lost spring football and all the things I mentioned with the offense there and Jamie Newman. Like I said, they're going to have a hell of a team. Don't count Georgia out. I'm picking them to go on the road and beat Alabama week three. So ooh, that should tell you what I think of Georgia.
Right.
But at the same time, Florida's coaching staff, largely intact, no switching on either coordinator. And I really, really like Kyle Trask. I think he's the SEC's best quarterback.
Agreed.
And we're looking at a Florida team that, you know, look at some of the teams they played last year. Auburn was really good. They had to go to LSU. And, of course, they played Georgia. And Tennessee, had they not shit the bed early in the season, that's a 10-win season. That's a 10-win team.
Yeah.
Florida beat the hell out of them. Yeah. The schedule gets a lot easier for the Gators this year. This is going to be the deepest team Dan Mullen's got in Gainesville. And being a Tennessee grad, I'm not happy to say this, but Florida is winning the East next year.
Shit. Yeah, and, I mean, we're definitely not going to say Tennessee will win, but, I mean, finishing third with the dumpster fire start you just referenced, definitely makes me feel better. Corlau, what was your next question, brother?
Man, I know you just said Kyle Trask is your favorite quarterback in the SEC. I like, personally, KJ Costello and John Rhys Plumlee. I was interested to see what you think is going on in the state of Mississippi as far as how that's going to change for those guys.
Yeah, I mean, just like Jamie Newman, I went back and watched all of KJ Costello's tape and really impressed with him. Obviously, he didn't have that great a year last year, but I think a lot of that had to do with the health issues. And I believe he had a concussion early in the season, and then it just kind of derailed for him. But, you know, going back to Dak Prescott, this is going to be the best quarterback Mississippi State has had since that time, in my opinion. We all know what Mike Leach can do with a quarterback.
Absolutely.
Gardner Minshew.
You know, I think he could throw for a ton of yards, but I'm kind of like Jamie Newman. I don't know. I'm just always cautious to pump the brakes on these graduate transfer quarterbacks, particularly in the SEC. It seems like they never quite meet the hype year one.
Right.
Joe Burrow obviously did it year two, but year one's a little bit different.
Yeah.
And I've heard people compare this situation to the Gardner Minshew situation when he came into Washington State. But I really think that's an unfair comparison because that team, for anyone that doesn't know the backstory, you know, it was the tragedy with Ryan Helinski's brother committed suicide.
Yes.
That Washington State team, the entire roster, recruited by Mike Leach, had played for him for years. They understood the system. They were just missing a quarterback who tragedy struck, and they had a position of need. Now he's going down to Mississippi State, and now they don't have a spring. None of the players know how to run this system.
True.
Not that it's an overly complex system. So I'm not saying they're not going to get it down, but
right.
it's just a much steeper climb, I think, for KJ Costello to make it in there. But so I don't think he's going to be, like I said, he could throw for like 4,000 yards next year in this offense, but I still don't think he's going to reach his full potential given all the the newness of Mike Leach's system being put into place there in Starkville. And then you talk about John Rhys Plumlee. If Kyle Trask is my number one, John Rhys Plumlee is my number two.
Yes.
And it really bothers me when people say he can't throw the ball. I think that had a lot more to do with the offensive system that Rich Rodriguez was running last year. Because if you go back and watch the tape, John Rhys Plumlee made plenty of throws when he had to last season. And I compare the kid to, like, Michael Vick. Like, I don't understand these people that...
So good.
He had more rushing yards than passing.
I mean, he's a damn game breaker. As soon as he got on the field, very first time I watched him play against Cal, he just like a flip was switched to that offense. He did the same thing against Alabama. He did the same thing against LSU. If he can do it against those teams, he can do it against anybody. And now that he's got Lane Kiffin coaching him up, I think he's going to maximize his full potential there.
Yeah, and man, I got one more question for you. Hot seat, man. This is one of my favorite topics. We all love it. The SEC coaches, to us, hopefully to you, we have the best coaches. We the best personalities. SEC Media Day, I thought my head was going to explode when it was Mike Leach, Lane Kiffin, Nick Saban. Like, they were all next to each other. That was pretty cool. At Coach O, like, who right now, though, to you is on the hot seat? Obviously, in the SEC, you stop and you say
Derek Mason.
Maybe Stoops. What do you think and who do you think could take over those jobs if that's the case?
Yeah, I think the hottest seat in the SEC definitely belongs to Will Muschamp.
Ooh,
South Carolina. I don't like to say that. I don't always like to put these guys on hot seats either because I always think you know, like Kentucky had that historic 10-win season
lost
2 years
to Tennessee.
Ago.
Right.
They almost pushed him out the door like 2 seasons before that. So I often think these coaches need a little bit more time to just kind of implement their system. But, hell, they're getting paid a lot of money, so I don't feel too bad for them. But
right, like Gus.
I think a lot of these schools would be better instead of, like, Tennessee. That's, I mean, I know they hired some shitty coaches, but hiring them every 3 years is that it wasn't fixing the problem either. You know what I mean? So, like, sometimes you just got to commit to a guy. But that being said, Will Muschamp, he just seems to lose games he shouldn't lose. Like, last year, North Carolina, that was inexcusable.
Yes.
Appalachian
But Mack Brown has been doing a good job, so that kind of speaks more in his favor, right?
Yeah, I mean, Mack Brown's been, he's been doing a really good job, particularly in recruiting, but he was starting a true freshman, first game ever.
Yeah.
Wow, that was Will Muschamp's fourth year, and he had a senior quarterback. I mean, I don't know, it's just, that's inexcusable to me, and those are the losses that put Muschamp on the hot seat, in my opinion, and I think the expectations there in South Carolina, I mean, they're talking 5-win season, 6-win season.
Yeah.
If they don't make a bowl game in year 5 of the Will Muschamp era, when I believe they made a bowl game the first year, I mean, it's, what are we doing here? We're spinning our wheels. So he's got to be my number one. And I know everyone's going to have Derek Mason on the hot seat, but based on the people I talk to down there, just, I don't even know if Vanderbilt cares. Like, I don't think they care enough to make a change.
That was another question. Yeah. Is it more him? Because he's 24-46. But obviously, the article came out. I mean, Vanderbilt's pretty much hoarding money and doesn't give a shit. So that's obviously got to play a huge part. And you stop and think, well, maybe it isn't as much Derek Mason.
It's deeper than that.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think he's got the resources. But at the same time, I think what really killed them is losing Andy Ludwig, the offensive coordinator, to Utah last year.
Yep.
They never adequately replaced them. They already fired the guy they had last year. They've got a new offensive coordinator from Louisiana Tech in there. Hopefully he can steer the ship there, but at the same time, Vanderbilt lost 4 quarterbacks this offseason. They're bringing in 4 new ones. You're talking new coordinator, new quarterbacks. I think it's gonna end poorly there for Mason this year.
Yep.
Hell yeah. And Carl Jevil Moore?
In April. And I don't know, just people just care about the football, and that translates to, you know, the resources and commitment they put into football. It's the passion people have even for high school football, and it just goes further into college football. And I think a lot of people, you know, some of their favorite moments is just going to college and going to these games, and that never leaves them. So as they get older, they want to take their kids, and they want their kids to grow up that way, and it's like it's inbred in us. You know what I mean?
So, absolutely.
I don't know. I think it's something that the rest of the country, I mean, like I said, I don't want to bash all the other ones because I know Ohio State and Penn State and you mentioned Oklahoma. Like, those are some outstanding fan bases. But the thing about those leagues, it just doesn't seem to translate over the entire conference like it does the SEC outside of Vanderbilt.
No, man, we agree 100%. And, Mike, again, man, we really can't express enough how much it means that you came on, man. We look forward to more times. We're going to put this out tonight, actually. So if you could, man, give us a retweet. Shout us out if you'd like. We hope you had a great time. And, guys, please don't forget to check out Mike's podcast. It's the SEC Podcast. How often do you do that, Mike?
Yeah, during the season, I kill myself. We do 5 a week.
Yes.
So we're doing them every day. But during the off season, we're generally only doing 2. We're trying to do that. We're trying to keep that up through this damn corona crisis.
Yep.
On our last one, we drafted the best SEC football team of all time. Me and my cousin, we co-hosted. So we picked against each other like a fantasy draft and pit those 2 teams against each other. So we're just looking for stuff to talk about. But it's a good time. And we just do SEC football. So if that's your thing, check it out. And I think we do it better than anybody.
Hell yeah, awesome, man. Well, I've listened to it, and I agree. Carlisle, anything you want to say, brother?
Man, I appreciate you coming on. We had a good time, man.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you guys asking me to do this.
No, absolutely, man. And if you don't mind, we're probably going to ask you some more, especially once sports start happening again.
Yes, I mean, I can't wait for it. So, yeah, as soon as it gets back on, as long as my liver is still up and running, I'm happy to do it.
Absolutely, brother. And, hey, we heard you're based in Nashville. We actually live in Laverne. We're based in Nashville. We work in Bell Mead, so... Man, maybe we can, you know, meet up sometime, talk some business.
Oh, absolutely. Sounds good.
All right, brother. Well, hey, Mike, be safe out there. Stay safe, man. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you guys too. See ya.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, everybody, that was SEC Mike. We had a little fuck up here in the system, but you know what? Not everything goes perfect, but we got you 90% of everything you needed. So, Corlaw, anything you need to say?
My mic came unplugged.
And you know what? We still fucking move forward, because that's what we do, baby. We don't stop. We love you. We'll see you next week. Thursday, actually. Thursday. Yeah. Tune in. Wow.
She always let me down.